Good evening, class. Our lesson today is going to be dealing with authority in three realms. Authority in the world system, authority in the home, and then authority in the church. And we're going to begin with authority in the world system. Turn your Bible with me to Romans 13:1. I know we went over that scripture once before, but we're going to take it down another lane, another avenue today. Or tonight, rather, because what we're going to do is we're going to break them apart, this authority, into three different segments. And begin reading. Well, I'm reading the International Version, so just follow me as well as you can. 13th chapter of Romans, verse 1. And it says, everyone must submit themselves to the governing authority. Listen close now. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Verse 2. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. So this scripture is saying, anytime you rebel against established authority, established government, that God institute, you're just like you're submitting or rebelling against God himself. And God backs those institutions of government, the laws of the land, the local government that have been assigned to serve and protect us. God backed those authorities. And those who do so will bring judgment. Those who do what? Those who rebel against what God has instituted will bring judgment upon themselves. Verse 3, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of them, of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do what is wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He's God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Now, class, I read that scripture, those verses of scripture, because it explains clearly enough that government, the laws of this land are all instituted by God, and they're set up by God. Even though people rebel against certain rules, against certain laws, and you can forget that God stands behind them. And as a Christian, as a person that's submitted to God, if you don't understand that, you'll be in rebellion, thinking that, not understanding that God stand behind these things, so God will have to judge you even though you're a Christian. And so that's why we need to go down these lines of understanding that all authority belongs to God. So I'm going to read it out of Dawbert translation, just a couple of verses. It said, let every soul be subject to the authority that are above him. It states a little bit different. For there is no authority except from God. Now, if you don't remember anything else, remember there's no authority unless God has set it up. If God never sets something up, there's no authority in it. Now, let me read this next verse. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the law's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as sent by him for vengeance of evildoers and for praise to them that do well. That's 1 Peter 2:13-14. So that's two witnesses we got, class, letting us know that God stands behind rulers, governors, those that he had placed as position of authority, local government, federal government, whatever the whether they're corrupted or not, God's gonna deal with them. And we're gonna touch on some of that as we go further down this lesson. Now, this lesson here, just listen, and you're gonna learn something. But I'm do a lot of reading, so just stick with me, because it's some information that we need to have on our belt. We don't want to be ignorant of these things, because Satan take advantage of our ignorance. So God is the source of all authority in the universe. Now, since all governing authorities are instituted by him, then all authority are delegated by him and represents his authority. God himself has established this system of authority in order to maintain himself. Well, what that mean? That means God has to maintain his presence by his authority, by his laws, his rule, his government upon the earth. So even if men don't know him by his presence, they can know him by his commandment. And commandment represents his laws and rules, the things that guide us in this life. Wherever people encounter authority, they meet God, whether they know it or not. It is possible for men to come to know God through his presence, but even without his presence, they can still know him through his authority. Now, here's a good example of what that statement is saying. In the Garden of Eden, men knew God through his presence. Adam and Eve, they knew God authority because God was present with them. Matter of fact, God would come through the garden in the cool of the day, and God would present himself to Adam and Eve. And in one particular day, God looked for Adam and couldn't find him. He said, "Where are thou, Adam?" He said, "Well, we hid ourselves." Well, they find themselves naked after they had ate of the tree of good and evil, which they weren't supposed to do so. And so they became knowledgeable of sin for the first time. So they knew God through the present, during his absence by remembering him by his commandment. Today, though men seldom encounter God directly in the world, this, of course, does not apply to those in the church who live constantly in the Spirit. Well, we should be living constantly in the Spirit. And so, in other words, what the author is saying, if you live in the Spirit, you're going to encounter God's authority all the time. You're going to be aware of God's authority and through his presence all the time, because we live within the realm of the Spirit as much as we can anyway. So God is always authority to us. A Christian that has matured and learned to walk in the Word of God, he should acknowledge God in his presence and his command. The place today where he manifests himself the most is in his commandment. And that's his word. That's his rules. That's his guidance. That was what we had to consider the Ten Commandments was designed to rule and to regulate man's behavior. And so they knew God through the early patriarchs, through his commandments, through the law. And that was the governing factor of man, through the law. And we're going to find out later on, as Jesus began to bring a new law, that some still wanted to hold on to the old commandments, which had no life in them afterwards. We'll find out that we were governed by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that's another lesson in itself. That's when we bring it over to the realm of the church, you see, but through the realm of the Spirit. But now we're dealing with local government authority throughout the world. Those laws and those governing authority where all souls should be submitted to. We're talking about those that are saved and unsaved should abide by the same rule, the same law. The policemen don't just stop Christians. You stop Christians and sinners alike. Ungodly men have to pay the taxes, and godly men have to pay the taxes. Ungodly and godly are both alike. There's a code of law for the godly, and there's a code of law for the ungodly. So all of us have to abide by the same law of the land, with the governing authorities, make sure they're abided by. The government taxes. This ungodly pay the government taxes, and the godly have to pay government taxes. We're not exempt because we're a Christian. There's the same law, same rule that govern all men. And so sometimes we get revelation. Now, we're not of this world. Why should we have to pay the world's tax? Well, Jesus has sent us, God has sent his authority upon the world, and they all represent him. So we got to all abide by the same rule that governs this world system. So we should do so with more integrity. We should be willing to pay our tax with more integrity. We should be willing to obey the police officer with more integrity, and more of the Christian way of life should be manifested in our life when we come to obeying the laws of the world system government. We should live a high standard of obeying, of obedience when it comes to the world system. Matter of fact, the world ought to be able to acknowledge something different in us because we abide differently to the world system. Even our, when it comes to our job, even our those that supervises us, we should have a much more desire to obey and to be more studious when it comes to serving on our jobs and be there on time and make use of our time and not being slothful, not being lazy. In other words, we should have a good report of all men because we're born again, blood-bought Christian. So the rule that govern the world should govern us even more so because we have another law on the inside of us that help us to be governed outside of the written law. There's an unwritten law on the inside of us that govern us. That's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's the Holy Ghost that guides us and keeps us and trains us and tell us how to obey and to submit to leaders that we're supposed to submit to. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. That should be a high level of excellence in us. And we should do things 10 times better. Yeah, we should do things better than the average person in the world, even on our job. We should make more of a mark. We should be more accurate when we come to things. We should be more on time when we come to things. We should be the first one at the office, first one on the job, the first one to speak up and do what is right, and first one to be honest, and the first one not to be able to look upon and covet other people's things and steal and do things unjustly and wrongly. No, we should be example to those that are around us on our job and become a witness to those. I just thought I'd say all that because when in the world system, they have to have a light shining if we're going to win them to Christ. They should see a more excellent spirit in us than anything. If anybody do the job right, it ought to be you doing the job right. If anybody lagging on the job, it shouldn't be you. It should be the ungodly person lagging. You should show a light that show that you cut by a different mold, that you born again, and then you have a spirit of obedience in you, and you should have more love than anybody else. You shouldn't speak grudgingly about your job. You shouldn't even speak evil about your authority before other men or for anyone. So that should be a high standard of living before you and before this world system. And that's how God promotes those, and that's how you become a light and a shining guiding light to those who don't understand how this system is supposed to run. We should show the world system how it's supposed to run, with the integrity, with the loyalty, and with the commitment that need to be taken in our personal lives. Amen. We should go, I'm stuck on it. We should go the extra mile when we ask to do something. And when we ask to do something, we should do it better than average. Yes, as Christian, we should have more integrity when it comes down to abiding through this world system of government. Yeah, that's the world we got to live in. And we got to make a mark. And we got to shine as Christian. And so they got to know that Jesus make a difference in your life. Only those who are, let me back up a little bit. We're talking about, let's see. Today, though men seldom encounter God directly in this world, this doesn't apply to those in the church because we should live more in the spirit. I think I explained that a little bit more. For they often see God's face. We should often see God's presence and meet God more than we can meet him like the system. The place today where he manifests himself the most is in his commandment. Only those who are foolish, like the foolish tenants in the parable of Mark 12, 1 through 9, have to have the personal presence of the owner of the vineyard in order to obey. Let's turn to Mark 12 and 1 through 9, and then we're gonna look at this, and we're going to see if this is so. We're going to see how so this is here. Mark 12, 1 through 9. Give me a minute to find it. You go ahead and look at it, and we're going to see, and we're going to read this together. I'm going to read out the King James Version, Mark 12, 1 through 9. Let's begin to read. And he began to speak unto them by a parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went to a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away. And again, he sent unto them another servant. And see, they don't understand delegate authority. This servant represented the husbandman of the vineyard. And because they didn't recognize authority, they had to have the owner himself to come. They acted in rebellion. And again, he sent unto them another servant. And at him, they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handed. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others beating some and killing some. Having yet, therefore, one son and well-beloved, he sent him also unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Ninth verse says, and what therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard to others. Now, what that scripture is talking about, and it's kind of plainly explained itself, but what happens, and we all see it, that we have to come to a place of understanding that the true authority doesn't have to have the owner to come. His representative authority or the delegate authority should have been sufficient to be able to receive his own because they represent him. You see it? So we're gonna have to learn how to do that. We're gonna have to learn how to take the servant and become your authority. You don't have to have what we call the head man. You see, when you submit to all those who have been appointed. I'm reminded of Naaman in Kings. I think in 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, when he had a little maid that rescued from the war. She told Naaman. Naaman wouldn't hear the servant of Elijah. But he thought the man of God would come out himself. You see, so he didn't understand authority properly because he didn't recognize whom the authority sent becomes the authority. So we have to learn that, and we have to submit to these certain levels of authority Yeah, and walk in line and walk in submission when we come to understanding it. For in the story, are not the servant and his son sent ahead of him as his representative? Those who are set up by God ought to exercise authority for him, since governing authorities are ordained and instituted by God, they are meant to be obeyed. And we would, if we would indeed learn how to obey God, we would then have no trouble recognizing on him on whom God's authority rests. In other words, when you really learn obedience, there's no problem understanding who's in authority. Whether the authority himself comes or he's sent a delegate on his behalf, it should be respected just as though the authority comes himself. But we know only God direct authority. But if we know, as so many of our fellow Christians have not quite understand yet, if we know only God direct authority, we may possibly violate more than half of his authority. Wow, what a statement. I'm gonna read this again. But if we know only God direct authority, we may possibly violate more than half of his authority. Unknowingly, if you only want God direct authority. And so some people, they're not satisfied with a delegate. They're not submitted to delegates. They only want to submit to those whom seem to be, in their eyes, the authority. No, we must be subject to delegate authority as well as God direct authority. For there is no authority except from God. As to early authority, Paul not only exhorts positively towards subjection, but also warns negatively against resistance. He who resists authority resists God's own command, he said. He who rejects God's delegate authority rejects God's own authority. Authority, according to the Bible, is characterized by a unique nature. There's no authority except from God. He who resists authority resists God, plain and simple. And those whom resist will incur judgment. There's no possibility, underline this if you take a note, there is no possibility of rebellion without judgment. No such thing. Whenever someone rebels, you can almost see the outcome in the judgment, even though whether it come quickly or it delayed itself, judgment's coming. And sometimes that's where people are misled, because even though the judgment may be delayed for a year, 2 years, 10 years, even 20 years, God still has to judge it. So you can't get around judgment when you've come against God's authority. There's no possibility of rebellion without judgment. Are you understanding that, Claire? Man has no choice in the matter of authority. During Adam's time, God gave them dominion over the whole earth. What they were to govern, however, were the living creatures. After the flood, God handed the power of governing man's fellow man to Noah, saying, whosoever shedded man's blood, by man shall blood be shed. That's Genesis 9-6. From then on, the authority of governing man was invested in men. Yes, that's what happened. After the flood, God said, men going to judge men. And so he put that that responsibility upon man. When a man shed blood, blood going to be shed by man. And that was his way of correcting man through man. From then on, the authority of governing man was invested in men. Amen. Ever since that human government under men, under which men are placed, having led his people out of Egypt into the wilderness, God gave them 10 commandments. Let me read that again. Ever since Noah and the command that God gave in Genesis 9:6, men are placed in this certain authority. And over in Egypt, when God led his people out of Egypt into the wilderness, God gave them the 10 commandments and many ordinances. Among these was one which declared, "Thou shalt not revile God, nor curse a ruler of thy people," at Exodus 22:26. This proved that God had put them under rulers, and even in Moses' time, the Israelites who resisted authority were actually resisting God. God put that into law. God made that law of govern men. When men revile against men, God judged them by their own word. Although the rulers of the nation did not believe in God and their countries were under the dominion of Satan, the principle of authority remained unchanged. I'm just reading, class, so just bear with me, because this is a lot of good information. There are some points that we're going to pull out of this thing. Just as Israel was God's kingdom and King David was chosen by God, so the Persian emperor was likewise said to have been set up by God. When our Lord was on the earth, he was subject to the governing authority, as well as to the authority of the high priest. He paid the taxes, and he taught men to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. That's Matthew 22:21. Matthew 22:21. During the question, when the high priest adjured him by the living God to tell whether he was the Christ, the Son of God, the Lord immediately obeyed. He was subject unto these governing authorities, even the high priest. And Jesus was God, but yet he submitted himself to men's dominion and men's authority. So if Jesus submit, where do that leave you and I? We have no place or no room not to submit. But then Jesus acknowledged in all these instances that there were the authorities on earth. Our Lord was never a party to any rebellion. Paul shows us that in Romans 13, that all who are in authority are God's servant. We must be subject to the local authority under which we live, as well as to the authority of our own nation and race. We should not disobey local authority simply because we may be of a different nation, nationality. The law is not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. However different the laws of nation are, they are all derived from the law of God. The basic principle of all God's laws is to punish the evil and reward the good. All powers have their own laws. Their function is to maintain and execute their laws that the good may be approved and the bad disciplined. Well, Claire, I've read a lot. But what the author and what this book and what this class is designed to do, put you in the mindset that even though these may be governing authorities, these authorities are all ordained by God, and God backs them 100%. And if we rebel, don't think we are just rebelling against the government, this world system. No, Father God stands behind all of these things. And there's penalties behind these laws. There's government penalties, but there's also spiritual penalties. God holds rebellion against these delegated authority in the world system just like as if you hold us accountable for disobeying against church leaders. There's no different. There's no different, I said. When you disobey against your church leader and disobey your boss on the job, or disobey that police officer that's doing his job to protect the good and punish the evil dude, you're coming against God. See, yeah, but those are wicked men. But God stands behind the law that they govern. Yes, God stands behind the law that they govern. And he stands behind it. And if you're wrong, you have to pay the price or the penalty for doing wrong. And sometimes Christians sometimes seem to be fighting against God. They know they're wrong, but yet they don't want to pay the penalty of the price. The laws are corrupt in some systems, and we know that. But God is righteous, and God is holy, and God wants us to be sanctified in him. And God wants us to be accountable for our wrongdoing and for our short step and misstep and unaccountability. God wants to be accountable to him and accountable to man. If you're not faithful in that which are the least, God said, I can't make you rulers of much. You're not going to be faithful over much. So if you can't obey man's rule, God says, you're definitely not going to obey my rules. I'm telling the truth, lad. So all these things are backed up by God. And as simple as it may sound, as dry as this lesson may seem, remember, it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Sometimes we think we're doing everything right spiritually, but yet we're failing on this other end. What other end? This world system of government. Yeah, you can be efficient in the spiritual side, but on the natural governance side, you can fail. Yes, you can fail. Yeah, you got to be right and holy and sanctified spirit. That's why Paul said, I pray, brethren, that your spirit, soul, and body be presented to God. And they got to be sanctified. Spirit, soul, and body. All three apostles teaches that. And so when you do what's right in your spirit, you do what's right in your soul, you do what's right in your body, they become sanctified, and then you can honor God. The whole man can honor God. Yeah, and you won't be accounted. You won't be counted with the evildoer. No, we have to stand apart. We have to be a light to this world system. And we have to be above reproach, the scripture said. Yes, above reproach, I said. And we can't let this world system dictate or determine how we're going to live. No, we can't fall in line with the world system and try to use the same law that the world system used, perverted law, to try to get out of things that you know you shouldn't be getting out. Sometimes you got to go some of these things. Sometimes good Christians that break the law needs to sit in jail for a month or two. Yeah, you think you try to get out of it, and sometimes we don't submit to these laws, and you never learn the lesson. Yeah, you need to pay that speeding ticket. You go get it fixed, and you're going to speed again. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Hope you understand what I'm saying. These laws are designed to bring us to a place and to teach us obedience. Yeah, if you pay a $100 fine for speeding, it's going to make me think twice about speeding next time. So I felt that $100. I felt that $200. I felt that $300. Yeah, that fine. Yeah, I'm gonna go to speed limit when I pass through this zone here. Yeah, I'm gonna go to speed limit when I get on that interstate. These laws are provided to bring us obedience. Sometimes it's forced obedience because you pay the penalty of it. Well, hear me, class, because these things you think are not important. But it's not only for character building, but it's for obedience sake. God watches all of our action, and God determines our promotion through our action. You can't fool God. You might fool men, and some men you can't fool, but you get to a place of honor in God. You honor God by obeying the laws, by obeying the rules, by obeying the government, by paying your taxes, by doing what is right in the sight of God, and not just trying to look good in the church. Oh, I'll tell you what, sometimes people they try to do the greater thing and miss the lesser, what they call the lesser. You see, But God don't want us to do that. God don't want us to do that. That's why we got to obey these laws. That's why we got to be submitted to these silver governments, silver rulers, and because they are God's workmen. Evil, some evil as they may be, the laws that God's back. God gonna punish those that are not right in the law, those that are not handling the law right. God gonna deal with them. You just do your part with the law, and God gonna take care of what. Do what is right. You hear what I'm saying? Just do what is right, and God will get honor, and God will be glorified, and you'll get your promotion that you've been looking for, because you can't get it no other way. You can't go around. You can't go around God. No. Sometimes God used things to teach us and to train us. And to God brought the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years to teach them, to train them. Deuteronomy said to see what was in their heart. Sometimes God tried us to see what was in your heart. Yeah, you're sitting at that red light. And you're the only one at the red light. You look north, south, east, or west. You're the only one by this red light. See, this don't make sense. I'm just going to run this thing. Nobody going to know. Yeah, God trying your heart to see if you submitted to that one little red light up there. I came to a red light one time right here at the church, 22 and 44. And it was late one night. I'm leaving the church. And then I get to the light, and I say, God, this don't make no sense. I said, nobody coming from the north, south, east, and west. Yes, I got them held up. I'm held up, and I'm directed. I'm being ruled. I'm being governed by this one little red light up there. It looked like it's taking forever to change. Oh, just run right through it. God said, yeah, you run right through me. And I learned my lesson that day. I said, oh, God, that's you up there. That's you. That shining red light is you. You telling me to stop, and I should stop. Oh, but it looked like this is a sign. Looked like this is a light. No, but God stands behind it. If you're faithful in a few things, if you're faithful in small things, God say, then I'll make you ruler over many. Remember this lesson. Simple red light lesson. Simple stop sign lesson. Yeah, some stop signs say stop. You should stop. Some people make these little rolling stop. They make the little rolling stop and they keep going. No, the sign says stop. Sometimes people get a little angry with me when they're riding behind me. Because I get to the sign and I come to a complete stop. I say, the sign says stop, so I'm going to stop. And some people look behind me, they're behind me, want to blow their horns and want to say, why he don't go? I said, the sign says stop, so I stop. And so I remember to do these things. Because I understand that I'm faithful in these little things. If I could be faithful in these little things, when it comes to what we call great obedience, I have no problem because I'm being trained by the small thing. If you don't let these earthly things train us, how are we going to be trained in spiritual things? Hope you understand what I'm trying to get over to you, class. Hope you're trying to see what I'm getting over. I tell you what, I ain't got but 2 minutes left. It looks like I've been gone just for 10 minutes. But look, I understand this. Understand this. I don't want this lesson to be just a bunch of words. I don't want this lesson just to be a bunch of rules and regulations. I don't want this lesson to be look like something we just kind of pad the time with. But everything I read is true. Everything I read has something to do with God. And everything in this thing, you need to understand that good and evil, saved and unsaved, got to obey these laws. Because God set them up. They need to be governed as though God set them up. The entire system of law should be obeyed. And then the good and the bad going to be sorted out by God, you see. So it has something to do with honor. Respect to whom respect is due and honor to whom honor is due. A Christian obeys the law not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. I'm going to read this one more time and I'm going to close. A Christian should obey the laws not only to avoid God's wrath, we should be way beyond that, but also for the sake of conscience. Well, class, I know we went through this. I know I did a lot of reading, but it had this pertinent information here. These are the things that have been holding us back sometimes. Sometimes we don't understand what's holding us back. Sometimes these little things holding us back. We think we're making an A over here, but we're failing over there. Catch this lesson, class. Catch it as simple as it may sound. Obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourself. You know why, class? Because this is the will of God. I mean, some of you may have never heard this before, but this is the will of God. God bless you, and I'll see you next Monday.